Thank You, Amu, by Oge Mora. On the corner of First Street and Long Street, on the very top floor, Amu was cooking a thick red stew in a big fat pot for a nice evening meal. She seasoned and stirred it and took a small taste. "What a delicious stew," Amu said. "Tonight's dinner will surely be the best I have ever had." With that, Amu put down her spoon and went to read a book before supper. As the thick red stew simmered on the stove, its scrumptious scent wafted out the window and out the door, down the hall, toward the street, and around the block until, knock, someone was at the door. When Amu opened it, she saw a little boy. "Little boy," Amu exclaimed, "what brings you to my home?" "I was playing with my race car down the hall when I smelled the most delicious smell," the little boy replied. "What is it?" "Thick red stew." "Stew," he sighed. "That sure sounds yummy." Amu thought for a moment. She was saving her stew for dinner, but she had made quite a bit. It would not hurt to share. "Would you like some?" The little boy nodded. And so Amu spooned out some thick red stew from the big fat pot for her nice evening meal. "Thank you, Amu," the little boy said, and went on his way. With that, Amu closed the door and went back to her book. As she read, her thick red stew's scrumptious scent wafted out the window and out the door, down the hall, toward the street, and around the block until, knock, knock, someone was at the door. When Amu opened the door, this time she saw a police officer. "Miss Police Officer," Amu exclaimed, "what brings you to my home?" "I was on duty down the street when I smelled the most delicious smell," Miss Police Officer replied. "What is it?" "Thick red stew." "Ah, stew," she said, and her mouth watered. "That sounds mighty tasty." Amu thought for a moment. There was still enough to share. "Would you like some?" The police officer nodded. Once again, Amu spooned out some thick red stew from the big fat pot for her nice evening meal. "Thank you, Amu," the officer said, and went on her way. And so for the second time, Amu closed the door and went back to her book. Sure enough, as she read, her thick red stew's scrumptious scent wafted out the window and out the door, down the hall, toward the street, and around the block until, knock, knock, knock. Again, someone was at Amu's door. This time, when she opened it, she saw a hot dog vendor. "Mr. Hot Dog Vendor," Amu exclaimed, "what brings you to my home?" "I was selling my hot dogs down the block when I smelled the most delicious smell," Mr. Hot Dog Vendor replied. "What is it?" "Thick red stew." "Oh, stew." The vendor licked his lips. "That sounds quite delectable." So Amu spooned out some thick red stew from the big fat pot for her nice evening meal. "Thank you, Amu," the hot dog vendor said, and went on his way. Throughout the day, people from all across the neighborhood knocked on Amu's door. She fed a shop owner, a cab driver, a doctor, an actor, a lawyer, a dancer, a baker, an artist, a singer, an athlete, a bus driver, a construction worker. Even the mayor stopped by. And each time they knocked, Amu shared. Soon, the sky darkened, the street lights brightened, and it was finally time for dinner. But when Amu opened her big fat pot of thick red stew for her nice evening meal, it was empty. Amu sniffled. There goes the best dinner I ever had. Sorry and blue, she sat at the table with her empty pot until... Knock, 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 knock. Who could that be? Amu wondered. When she opened her door, she saw the little boy, the police officer, the hot dog vendor, the shop owner, the cab driver, the doctor, the actor, the lawyer, the dancer, the baker. Why, everyone she fed today was at her door. I'm sorry, everyone, Amu sighed. My thick red stew is all gone. I have nothing left to share. The little boy tugged at Amu's sleeve. Don't worry, Amu. We are not here to ask. We are here to give. The police officer carried in a fresh salad. The mayor entered with a roast chicken. The baker brought a collection of sweet goodies. Even the little boy presented Amu with something special in a shiny red envelope. Everyone who had knocked on Amu's door that day squeezed inside her tiny apartment, and together they ate, danced, and celebrated. While Amu's big fat pot of thick red stew was empty, her heart was full of happiness and love. That dinner was the best she had ever had. Living Things Alike and Different by Jillian Reed. Plants and animals have parts that are alike and different. Both are made up of cells. Cells are the smallest part of living things. They are so small that you need a microscope to see them. Plant cells are usually larger and box-shaped. Animal cells come in many different shapes. Also, plant cells work together so plants can make their own food. Animals cannot make their own food. They must find other ways to get food. What do plants need? Plants need sunlight, water, minerals, and air to live. The different parts of a plant help it survive. The roots help the plants take in minerals and water from the soil. The stem carries the minerals and water to other parts of the plant. Some plants do not have roots or stems. They get water from the soil in other ways. What do animals eat? Animals also need food to help them live and grow. Animals can be grouped according to what they eat. Some animals eat mostly plants. Others eat mostly meat. Still others eat both plants and meat. What kind of animals are there? Some animals have a backbone. These are called vertebrates. Vertebrates can be grouped by their body temperatures. Cold-blooded vertebrates, such as fish and reptiles, can change their body temperatures to match the temperature of the air around them. Warm-blooded animals, such as birds and mammals, keep the same body temperature no matter how cold it is outside. Birds use their feathers to keep warm. Mammals use their fur and skin to stay warm. Common bonds. Living things come in all shapes and sizes. Some are plants and some are animals. Some have leaves and some have fur. There is one thing that all living things have in common. They all start with a tiny thing called the cell. The Big Brag by Dr. Seuss. The rabbit felt mighty important that day. On top of the hill in the sun where he lay, he felt so important up there on that hill that he started in bragging, as animals will, and he boasted out loud as he threw out his chest, "Of all of the beasts in the world, I'm the best. On land and on sea, even up in the sky, no animal lives who is better than I." "What's that?" growled a voice that was terribly gruff. "Now why do you say such ridiculous stuff?" The rabbit looked down and he saw a big bear. "I'm best of the beasts," said the bear, "and so there."
"You're not," snapped the rabbit. "I'm better than you."
"Pooh," the bear snorted. "Again, I say pooh."
"You talk mighty big, Mr. Rabbit, that's true. But how can you prove it? Just what can you do?"
Thought the rabbit. "Now what can I do?" He thought and he thought. Then he finally said, "Mr. Bear, do you see these two ears on my head? My ears are so keen and so sharp and so fine, no ears in the world can hear further than mine."
"Hmph," the bear grunted. He looked at each ear.
"You say they are good," said the bear with a sneer. "But how do I know just how far they can hear?"
"I'll prove," said the rabbit. "My ears are the best. You sit there and watch me. I'll prove it by test."
Then he stiffened his ears till they both stood up high and pointed straight up at the blue of the sky. He stretched his ears open as wide as he could. "Shh, I am listening," he said as he stood. He listened so hard that he started to sweat, and the fur on his ears and his forehead got wet. For 7 long minutes he stood, then he stirred, and he said to the bear, "Do you know what I heard? Do you see that far mountain? It's 90 miles off. There's a fly on that mountain. I just heard him cough." Now the cough of a fly, sir, is quite hard to hear when he's 90 miles off, but I heard it quite clear. "So you see," bragged the rabbit, "it's perfectly true that my ears are the best, so I'm better than you." The bear, for a moment, just sulked as he sat, for he knew that his ears couldn't hear things like that. "This rabbit," he thought, "made a fool out of me. Now I've got to prove that I'm better than he." So he said to the rabbit, "You hear pretty well. You can hear 90 miles, but how far can you smell?" "I'm the greatest of smellers," he bragged. "See my nose? This nose on my face is the finest that grows. My nose can smell anything, both far and near. With my nose, I can smell twice as far as you hear."
"You can't," snapped the rabbit.
"I can," growled the bear, and he stuck his big nose way up high in the air and wiggled that nose, and he sniffed and he snuffed. He waggled that nose and he whiffed and he woofed. For more than 10 minutes, he snaffed and he snuffed. Then he said to the rabbit, "I've smelled far enough." "All right," said the rabbit. "Come on now and tell exactly how far is the smell that you smell."
"Oh, I'm smelling a very far smell," said the bear,
"away past that fly on that mountain out there. I'm smelling past many great mountains beyond, 600 miles more to the edge of a pond. And way, way out there by the pond you can't see is a very small farm. On the farm is a tree. On the tree is a branch. On the branch is a nest a very small nest where two tiny eggs rest. Two hummingbird eggs, only half an inch long. But my nose, said the bear, is so wonderfully strong. My nose is so good that I smelled without fail that the egg on the left is a little bit stale. And that is a thing that no rabbit can do. So you see, the bear boasted, I'm better than you. My smeller's so keen that it just can't be beat. What's that? Called a voice from way down by his feet. The bear and the rabbit looked down at the sound and they saw an old worm crawling out of the ground. Now, boys, said the worm, you've been bragging a lot. You both think you're great, but I think you are not. You're not half as good as a fellow like me. You hear and you smell, but how far can you see? Now, I'm here to prove to you, big boasting guys, that your nose and your eyes aren't as good as my eyes. And the little old worm cocked his head to one side, and he opened his eyes and he opened them wide, and they looked far away with a strange sort of stare, as if they were burning two holes in the air. The eyes of that worm almost popped from his head. He stared half an hour till his eyelids got red. That's enough, growled the bear. Tell the rabbit and me, how far did you look and just what did you see? Well, boys, the worm answered, that look that I took was a look that looked further than you'll ever look. I looked across the ocean, way out to Japan, for I can see further than anyone can. There's no one on earth who has eyesight that's finer. I looked past Japan, then I looked across China. I looked across Egypt, then took a quick glance across the two countries of Holland and France. Then I looked across England and also Brazil, but I didn't stop there. I looked much farther still. And I kept right on looking and looking until I'd look round the world and right back to this hill. And I saw on this hill, since my eyesight's so keen, the two biggest fools that have ever been seen. And the fools that I saw were none other than you, who seem to have nothing else better to do than sit here and argue who's better than who. Then the little old worm gave his head a small jerk, and he dived in his hole and went back to his work.